said in our among our church membership about seeking God and hearing from Him. And it doesn't matter which of life's issues we are considering, we need God's guidance. Whether it's family or work or you name it, we need God to guide us. He is the all-knowing one. He is the all-powerful one. He is the ever, the all-present one, and so much more. He has a wonderful design for your life, child of God. A wonderful design for you. But how will He enact that design? How will He put that to practice? What will it look like? Many parts of His plan are decided without our participation, our knowledge, or our approval. For instance, we had nothing to do with the selecting of our parents or the place of our birth. We didn't influence or decide our DNA or decide which physical gifts or traits we would have. There are many things that our lives, there are many ways that our lives are affected by the choices that others make, affected both positively and negatively. These all play into God's design. They all play a part in God's design for every one of us. But there is one way that we are permitted to affect God's design for our life. Of course, I'm speaking of the area of our choices. Any conscientious saint, of course, understands this and takes his or her choices seriously. But it doesn't take long for us to discover that wanting and trying to make good choices isn't enough. If we're surrendered to following God's will for our lives, we must also surrender our choices to Him, and doing that means making not just good choices, but the good choices that He wants us to make. There are many things that we could do in any given situation, and nearly all of them we should not do, because God has something in particular that He wants us to do. He has a particular choice for us to make. So how do we discover what we should do? How do we know what choice to make? The simple answer that I often give to people who are asking me such things is, seek the Lord. But in a group this size, I imagine there may be somebody who isn't quite sure what that means. Maybe there's someone here tonight who thinks that they know what that means, but their practice suggests otherwise. And I imagine there are also some that could be helped with a reminder. So tonight, I'd like us to take a few minutes to see what the Bible says about seeking the Lord. The title of my message is How to Seek the Lord, because we all need to. We all need God's guidance. Every one of us has choices that we will be making. It's not a matter of whether we want to or not. We will be making choices that affect God's design for our lives. How do we know to make the right ones? What are the right ones? I can make choice A in a certain situation in life, and the next time that situation comes back around, choice A is no longer the right choice. Life is complicated. How do I know? How can we know what to do? We have to seek the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? I'll be using the acrostic SEEK tonight, S-E-E-K, to help us remember the ground that we're going to cover. First of all, before we seek the Lord, we need to remember who God is and remember who we are. Before we can truly seek God, we need to put Him in His proper place, and ourselves in our proper place. We often seek God in a time of fear, in a time of questioning, or in a time of confusion. And those are unsettling sensations. We may also seek God for an extended time without getting the answer that we desire. It seems like God is silent. Or maybe we waited too long before seeking God. And in those times, maybe we're afraid. We need an answer now, and we're afraid because we've got to make a choice. Or maybe we've been asking God for a long time, and we don't have our answer yet. Maybe we're confused, and we don't know which way to turn. These are unsettling sensations. And in these times, we may feel that God has departed from us, or He is silent and not speaking to us. Or maybe even he has forsaken us. I've felt that way before. Like, God, I need you. Where are you? Did you leave me alone? Are you just being silent on purpose? Just letting me languish? I need something from you, Lord. A right attitude of seeking God remembers who he is and who we are. One thing that God is, I'll look, actually, three things. God is holy, God is loving, and God is unchanging. 1 Samuel 2, verses 2 and 3 say, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." These words are spoken by Hannah, who sought the Lord. And she found him. God is holy. He is holy, means separate from sin. He is altogether separated from sin. If you look for him where sin is, you won't find him because he is holy. He is also loving. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." When God speaks of how he loves and the way that he is, it doesn't matter who he's speaking to. We know that that is still true. We know that we can claim those things because he does not change. When he reveals things about his character, we can claim that for ourselves because his character is still the same. It still applies to us the same way it's applied to anyone. He is unchanging. Malachi 3:6 tells us this, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God is holy, and he'll never change that. God is loving, and that will never change. He is absolutely and utterly predictable. I don't mean that I can always predict what he's going to do. That's not what I'm saying. But he is absolutely and totally predictable because his character is completely and totally unchanging. You want to know how to find something? Something or someone? Look for something that doesn't change. The North Pole, just a simple earthly based illustration, it doesn't go anywhere. It's still there. It's always in the same place. You want to find God? He hasn't moved. Who is this God that we're seeking? He is unchanging. God's character doesn't bend. He is wholly dedicated to righteousness. There is no compromise in him. He loves us completely and perfectly. I heard this said, and it was a blessing to me. I'm paraphrasing it for you now. God loves you so much, he can never love you more than he does right now. And because his love is a perfect love, he can never love you less than he does right now. It's a perfect love, and that will never change. So when we're seeking this God that we need to hear from, we need to know some things about his character. This is who he is. Remember who he is. Before we seek God, we need to remember this God that we're seeking. Because we can get our own ideas. I'm seeking God for this reason. I'm seeking God to get this result. Or I'm seeking God because he's forgotten me. No. That God that you're seeking doesn't exist. The God of the Bible is holy, loving, and unchanging. We also need to remember who we are. We are sinful, unstable, and easily deceived. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. I need to move quickly. We've got a lot of scripture to look at tonight, and I don't want to keep us too long. We need no further example showing the weakness of sinners than Mark 4, verse 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. There's a storm. The apostles are in the ship with Jesus. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The apostles, the ones specially gifted for the work of God. Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We're going to die under your care, and it doesn't even look like it matters to you. We sinners are sinful, unstable, and easily deceived. I've been seeking God for a whole 6.5 hours now, and he hasn't given me an answer. Maybe 6 months. He hasn't given me an answer. He's forsaken me. What happened to him? Why is he, stringing me along? Well, we're easily deceived. We're the ones who are unstable. He hasn't moved. As we heard during the testimonies this past Sunday night, it's amazing what we can be convinced to believe when we're not fastened on truth. None of us are immune to this. Not a single one of us. Before we seek God, we need to remember who God is. He is reliable, unchanging, and loving. And we must remember who we are. We are sinful, unstable, and easily deceived. That's who we are. It's a good exercise for me to sit and think about what I would be without God's goodness in my life. And you think about how far that goodness travels, how deep it goes, permeates even to the level of the strength that I have to stand on my own 2 feet, the strength that my brain has to function, my organs to function. I can't even comprehend thoughts without God's goodness, much less spiritual truth, much less put it to practice, much less be used in his work. God is good to me and to you. I need to remember who I am and who he is before I can begin to seek him. But once we're ready to seek him, there are 4 things we're going to talk about. S-E-E-K. The first is S, separate from sin. If we're going to seek God and expect to find him, we must separate from our sin. He is holy, and he will not reveal his design for our lives if we refuse to let go of our sin. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Most or all of these verses today, this evening, are going to be familiar to us, but it's good for us to read them just the same. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, Lord, my land doesn't need healing. I just need an answer from you. This is God's character. This is how he operates. He's telling us how he operates. He's telling us how he can be found. And that doesn't change. Do you just need an answer, just an answer on a job? Do you need an answer on a house, on a spouse? Do we need an answer about the direction of our church? God is the same. He hasn't changed. We need to seek him. And we can find him because he doesn't move. He's not hiding. Even though he could, it wouldn't be hard for him. But he doesn't hide from us because he is a good God. Psalm 66:18 says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Regard, to know it's there, to see it, to let it stay, to protect it. That's what it means, to regard iniquity in my heart. Can't do that and expect God to answer you. Can't do that and expect to seek and find and get an answer from God. And maybe we believe we don't have sin in our life. We're not regarding sin. But have we stopped and said, Lord, maybe I've got sin in my life I don't even recognize. Would you show that to me too? It's good for us to do. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 say, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And I don't think it's an accident that this is the last part of the passage, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we're serious about seeking the Lord, we need to separate from our sin. We're not going to eradicate it forever from our lives because we're still sinners. But we've got to separate from it. We've got to confess it and forsake it. By God's grace, I'm never going back. That's the attitude. Seek the Lord starts with separating from our sin. If we want God to lead us, we've got to let go of our sin. The letter E, explore the scriptures. Turn to Psalm 119. We're going to read several verses in this psalm. This is a great psalm. It's focused on the Word of God and the commandments of God. And if you're looking for a place to explore the scriptures, this might be a good place to start. How do we seek the Lord? We separate from our sin and we explore the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God's got to open our eyes if we're going to see it. It doesn't matter how smart you are or how well studied you are. You're not going to see the eternal truths in the Word of God if God doesn't open your eyes. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. This is how we seek God, with our whole heart. And when we seek him, when we explore the scriptures, we find out what his commandments are. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. There is strength in the word of God that's just waiting to be found. Look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You see that? That salvation he's talking about, it hasn't arrived yet. I'm waiting for it. My soul fainteth. I wish it were already here. I can't believe that I've endured this far. It's excruciating. But I hope in thy word, because that is reliable. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. We can't hope and not forget his statutes if we don't spend time in the word of God. Seek the Lord. What does that mean? It means to separate from your sin. That's tangible. That's focused. That's intentional. That's unnatural to us. Secondly, explore the scriptures. Go to the Word of God. That's unnatural for the natural man. We don't like that. Our flesh doesn't like that. But that's tangible. You want to hear from God? He's already spoken to us. Go to what he's already given us. Don't look for something different. Don't look for something extra, something emotional or intellectual. This is what he's given us. Go here. When we seek the Lord by exploring the scriptures, we find psalms like Psalm 146. Let's read it quickly, Psalm 146. These encourage our heart. When our soul is fainting in us, when it seems like God isn't answering us, when it seems like he's abandoned us, these things encourage our souls. Verse Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. If you're seeking the Lord by exploring his word, you're going to find psalms like this. There are many others that God is going to encourage your heart with. He might not give you the answer that you're looking for, but he's not going to forsake us and leave us alone. He will be found. In fact, he's going to be found every time right here. Separate from sin. Explore the scriptures. The next E is express your heart to God. God wants us to pray to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to take our burdens to him. He wants us to praise him. He even wants us to, in a scriptural way, complain to him. Just read the Psalms and you'll see plenty of complaining. But it's scriptural complaining. At least it ends up that way. Sometimes it's not. I think of Psalm 73, sticks in my mind. The psalmist is saying, God, what is going on? The wicked is prospering and the righteous is being defeated. Have you just fallen asleep at the wheel, Lord? What's going on? He's complaining and his spirit isn't really very, very commendable. But in his complaining, God opens his eyes. And then he praises the Lord. It's okay for us to complain to God. Just do it in a right way. Remember who you are. Remember who God is. God, I'm just feeling this way. It just seems like this is happening. It seems like this other thing is not happening. It seems like it'll never happen. What's going on? This is what I'm going through, Lord. I just want to tell you about it. I know you already know, but I want to share with you what's on my heart. I want to express myself to you. Because I love you, and I know you love me. Take your burdens to the Lord. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that is well known. It's okay to complain to him. It's often not okay to complain to other people. They can't do anything about it. I've noticed that. I can complain to somebody, and it feels good in the moment. It feels good to get it off my chest. And then it's over with. And I'm not helped at all. They were sympathetic, but I'm not helped at all. But then I can complain to the Lord, and I can say, I can bring my complaints and say, I know you're God. He says, you're right. And I can handle it. And I didn't get a resolution. I didn't get it taken away. But I walk away from that helped. Because I complained to the one who can do something about it. And I didn't tell him he was doing it wrong. I didn't tell him he'd forsaken me. I didn't claim that he'd broken his promises. I didn't do it in an unbiblical way. But I took my burdens to the Lord. And I laid them at his feet. And I said, this is what I'm going through. And it's hard. That's what he wants us to do. Where else are we going to take him? Where else will our burdens find relief? You want to seek the Lord? Take your burdens to the one who can do something about them. Express your heart to God. God isn't interested in hearing our stodgy, perfectly sculpted, museum-worthy prayers. He wants us to open our heart to him. There are wrong ways to pray, of course. We don't have much time to study the topic of prayer tonight in much depth, but I'd like us to see one anguished prayer from a man who desperately wanted to hear from God. Turn to Luke 22. Verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Jesus is our example. He desired that God would, if it were possible, take away the cup from him. The apostles were sleeping instead of praying, and Judas was coming to betray him. I'm thinking he probably felt very alone. He was in great agony over his coming trial of being put on trial and put on the cross and becoming sin. And he was seeking his Father in prayer. He knew what the answer was. He knew. That was why he was there. That was why he was born. He knew what the answer was, but he still asked it. How much more should we, seeing as we very rarely know what the Father's answer will be? We may complain, and we should praise, and we should ask. But most of all, as Jesus did, we must surrender to his will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I think this is a remarkable glimpse into Jesus' humanity. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Did Jesus want to save all mankind? Of course he did. Did he love the world? Of course he does. He loves his apostles, these men here. Of course. But in this moment, his humanity was saying, I don't want this. I don't want this. This is not my will. I would rather find another option. That's my will. So if it's possible, Father, take away this cup. But you know what? I don't want my will in the end. I want your will to be done. He is our example. We need to express our heart, all of it, to the Lord in prayer. Separate from sin. Explore the scriptures. Express your heart to God. And lastly, keep what you know. And by this I mean, hold on to it. Don't forsake what you know to be true. Preserve it. This is why seeking God in the scripture is so important. If you've been saved for any length of time, God has taught you things from his word. Don't let go of those things. You know them to be true. The Bible says they are true. Keep them. Don't let them go. Don't forsake them. The truths of God are as unchanging as he is. What are some truths that can help us in times of uncertainty and seeking God? I'd like us to look at just a few things. There are many. But here are just a few things that will lend stability to our life always, always. Keep what you know. Don't let go of those things, because letting go of truth will destabilize your life. Here are just a few things that we can hold on to, and they will always, no matter the situation, they will always lend stability to our life. First of all, we need to identify friend or foe. The devil seeks to destroy the saints. He is the foe. God seeks to win the saints and preserve the saints. He is the friend. We must know how these two beings operate. Some of Satan's tools are fear, confusion, and a whole lot more. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." In the context of prophesying in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, the Holy Spirit contrasts confusion with peace. Confusion with peace. They're opposites. That's what a contrast is. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Confusion is the devil's tool. If God isn't causing the confusion, then what is causing it? The answer is always sin and the devil. We can do it to ourselves because of our sin. The devil is characterized by sin. That's his being. That's what he's all about. Sin and the devil create confusion, not God. It's not God's tool. It's the devil's tool. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Here, the Holy Spirit contrasts fear with power, love, and a sound mind. Are you fearful? Then you don't have the power God wants you to have. You cannot love the way that he wants you to love, and you are not thinking soundly like he wants you to. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Well, then where did this spirit of fear come from? Sin and the devil. Identify friend and foe. God doesn't do these things to us. And so if we act in accordance with those things, we know that we're not acting the way that God wants us to act. My fear makes me let go of this and grab onto this. Well, we can be afraid of the Lord. That's a biblical fear. But that's not the spirit of fear that God gives us. If we act in accordance with Satan's tools, we're going to end up in the places that Satan wants us to end up in. God wants us to have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is another tool of the devil. May we say with Isaiah in Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." That's power, that is love, and that's a sound mind. There's no fear and confusion there. How do we keep what we know? First of all, we identify if it's a friend or a foe. We also obey what we know to do. Most of us have sat through many hours, many, many hours of preaching. We know a lot of Bible facts, but that doesn't mean that we follow them. But if we're serious about seeking God, we need to be serious about obeying everything we know to do. I remember years ago in my Christian life, there would be things that, yeah, I know I should probably be doing them, but I'm not very serious about them. I do them sometimes. That cannot be. That cannot go on. If that's your attitude, you're not being faithful to what you know to do. You're not keeping what you know to do. I've already mentioned confessing our sin, but sometimes we need to stop being lazy and start doing everything that we know to do. Here are a few examples. Obeying what we know to do. Here are just a few examples that always apply. Give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. In everything. How can we do that? Because of who God is. That's why we can give thanks in everything. Because of who God is. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. That God is sovereign over the world, over the universe, and over my life. I can give thanks with that kind of God in view. Give thanks in everything. Another thing that we ought to do, another thing that we know to do and should do, is rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. How can we rejoice always? Because of God's promises. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Lord, I'm seeking You and I need an answer and I'm not getting it. But you know what? I can still rejoice because my Bible tells me there is a loving, all-powerful God in heaven who's always going to do what's best for me, who's always going to accomplish His purposes, who is never going to be defeated, who is never going to fail. I can rejoice in that. Obey what you know to do. Yeah, I know we should rejoice all the time, but I'm not going to today. Okay? Now you're regarding iniquity in your heart. Do you think you're going to find God in that condition? Yeah, I know, but I'm not thankful for this. I can take a day off from being thankful, right? Not if you're trying to find God. This is how we seek Him. Okay, I am thankful. I'm rejoicing. Here's another thing that is always applicable. Tell sinners about your Savior. Matthew 28, we won't turn there. Jesus said, All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Another, I think it's Mark, says, Preach the gospel to every creature. You might need to start by talking to another saved person about your Savior. They're a sinner too. But find a lost person to talk to about your Savior. That's something that you always can know God wants you to do. It is something that is always applicable, always important, and it'll probably turn your attitude around, turn your spirit around. The will of God, it is the will of God for every saint to be involved in taking the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. You might not be able to go across the ocean. You might not be able to go across the street. But there are ways you can find to tell a sinner about your Savior. And when you do it intentionally, to obey God, to keep what you know, it's possible for us to do things because that's what we're programmed to do. We're here at church. Why? Well, that's what I do every Wednesday night. We can do the right things on autopilot and in the power of the flesh. But we can also do the basics on purpose with a full heart desiring to please the Lord. And there is a lot of joy in that. Keep what you know to do. That includes going to church. I don't feel like going to church. I feel like staying home and crying in my soup. I feel like whatever. But I'm going to do it on purpose. It might not seem like a big thing, but I'm going to keep what I know to do. Because if I abandon what God's shown me, how can I expect to seek Him and find Him? Lord, I really want to know Your will for my life, but I'm not going to do that part of Your will for my life. Lord, I really want to know what You want for my life, but I'm not going to go to Your word for it. Lord, I really want to seek the Lord, know what to do, but I'm not going to talk to Him in prayer. I'm not going to separate from my sin. Keep what you know to do. Are you seeking the Lord? If you're not, you should be. Well, why? Because we always should be. I've noticed from personal experience, maybe this doesn't apply to you, but if I don't seek the Lord, my flesh can tend to take over. And that's a bad thing, because my flesh is bad. I know I'm alone in that. Sin tends to creep in when I'm not seeking the Lord. Well, I don't need to make any big decisions right now. You're going to be making choices today. Bank on it. You're going to be making choices tomorrow. And you need the Lord to help you with those choices. Emily mentioned running into a former classmate. Probably hadn't thought of her in a while. Certainly didn't expect to see her today, or whatever day it was. And here we are. God will put those situations in our path and use them in that person's life if we're seeking Him. We always must be seeking Him. If you're trying to seek the Lord, have you taken time to remember who He is and who you are? He doesn't leave us. We leave Him. He doesn't hide or wander from us. We do it from Him. He can always be found because He doesn't move from truth. In seeking God, have you separated from your sin? Have you confessed and forsaken it? Have you asked God to show you secret and overlooked sins? Our sin separates us from God. Remove what separates, and we'll find God. Have you been exploring the Scriptures? Maybe you don't know where to start. As long as you are thoughtfully and sincerely seeking Him, I think just about anywhere is a good place to start. Once we're ready and we are asking God to lead us, it's easy for Him to speak to us. Have you been expressing your heart to the Lord? And I don't mean something so simple as, you know, dear God, please answer my need, amen. There, I prayed. Now I'm just waiting. I'm talking about earnest, longing, repeated, and prolonged prayer. I'm thankful that we can pray to God at any time for any reason. But I don't think that God is satisfied when we just tweet or text Him little prayers during the day, and that's it. If that's the deepest that our prayer life goes, I don't think God is content with that. He wants to hear our heart. God, thank you for this food, amen. Lord, pray for so-and-so to be saved, amen. Let's go a little bit deeper. Let's share our heart. Let's pray earnestly. Let's pray for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Sharing all of our heart with the Lord takes time. I wonder what the Lord thinks of our prayer lives. Finally, have you been keeping what you know? What do you know that God wants from you? If you're a child living at home, do you honor and obey your parents in full submission? If you're a single, do you put God first in everything? If you're married, are you the spouse that you know you should be? Are we following God and the people He's put in our lives? Do we keep these things, or do we set them aside because something else is more important at the moment? If we don't keep what we know, we will wander from the Lord. And we can't expect to find the Lord if we've set aside the things that we know are for us in search of something that we're not sure should be for us. One last thing in seeking the Lord. Remember who God is, and remember who we are. I thought you already said that. I did. But this part is so critical, we need to repeat it often. Earlier, I talked about how God is unchanging and we are easily deceived. After seeking God, we need to remember that God is sovereign and we are just unprofitable servants. He's not our genie in a lamp. He's not obligated to answer our prayer or meet our desire. It is our job to wait for His solution, His way, at His time. And once again, Jesus is our example. If you turned away, I'm not sure where you are right now, but turn back to Luke 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We can pray, Lord, would you answer this request? Lord, would you give me direction? Lord, would you help me with this? This is what I'm asking for, God. Give this to me, this thing. Well, God didn't answer. I prayed for this, and he didn't answer. Was Jesus' prayer answered? Yes, it was. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. No, Lord, I didn't pray for an angel. I want this cup removed from me. This is hard. Would you just take this away? I'm answering you. Here's an angel. Here's some strength. No, that's not the answer I want. We don't call the shots. I'm separating ourselves from the Lord now. He's our example, but we often have no idea what God's answer is going to be when we seek him. And so, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then just watch what the Lord does and accept it as his answer. Well, I asked for this and God didn't give it to me. That's an answer. Did you thank God for his answer? Because he is sovereign. But it wasn't what I wanted. I'm glad that God doesn't give us what we want. We'd find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was expressing his heart to the Father. The Lord gave him an angel to strengthen him. And he was in even greater agony. Verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. Jesus was praying, seeking the Lord. God gave him some strength. He continued to pray and seek the Lord. And you know what? In that place of prayer, he was in the place to take the next step in God's will for his life. That's where Judas came to find him. But it's not the answer I wanted, Lord. He is the Lord. We are but unprofitable servants. It is our job to seek the Lord biblically. And we can be encouraged because he will be found. It's our job to seek him in the way that he commands us to seek him and then submit to his answer for us. And then it is our job to choose to follow him. This is the part of his wonderful design that we can affect, that we can participate in. When we do this, we will see him accomplish that design for us and in us and bring glory to his name. And isn't that what we all want? I pray that it is. Let's pray.